You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh, welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
You can check out his blog. It's filmology.com. That's filmology spelt with a P-H. The reviews, audio, everything you need to know. Now, we are going to talk about Jack Black's latest film, Bernie, which, from what I hear, is a little bit strange. But tell me about Holy Motors. This prompted you to ask for people's weirdest movie experiences. I think all of mine were when I was 13 and 14. But let's talk about Holy Motors first. If you've got a weird film, something that's just still freaking you out decades later, 1300-222-774. Holy Motors, fill me in.
Holy Motors is a wonderfully weird film. This is one of those rare joys as a film critic when a film just catches you off guard and like complete surprise. I went in knowing very little about this film. It's a French film. It's been on release for about 2 weeks. Got a gig at the Melbourne International Film Festival where the director, Leos Carax, I think I'm saying that almost correctly, had a retrospective, and they had a number of his previous films showing. It's kind of a curious film. There's an interesting prologue, but then we move into what seems like a traditional film in which a man played by Denis Levant, who's a longtime collaborator with the director. Actually, he's an actor most people will probably remember from a Stella Artois ad when his dying dad, he says, you know, find me flowers, and he brings him flowers, find me honey, and then he find me the beer, and he's on the back of the cart, and he drinks that. Anyway, he enters a limousine, and he's told by his chauffeur driver, we have 9 appointments today. And then something curious happens because then he starts undressing and putting on makeup and putting on a wig. And then he gets dropped off at a random place in Paris as a kind of a decrepit old woman and busking on the streets. And you think, okay, this is not the film I thought it was going to be. And this is each appointment. I'm not going to kind of spoil the number of characters he inhabits. Are these various guises, these representations, these curious characters, each with their own sort of small story. So the film is definitely not that 3-act traditional classical Hollywood structure. It's basically a series of almost vignettes where he is playing these roles, and gradually as the film moves on, the boundaries between what might or might not be his real character, his true self, and these various characters that he's playing potentially start to blur, and we're not sure what's real, what's being played out, if it's being played out for a camera, who it's being played out for. And the interior of the limousine is transformed basically into this makeup and costume laboratory. Look, it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, you can't resist the style. If you're resisting, you're not going to go with it. But for me, it was just an absolute treat to have something so creative, so wonderful, so imaginative, and so joyous in the way this actor, Denis Levant, plays out these guises. You know, I don't want to sort of spoil too much by talking about the various threads, because one of the joys is not knowing where it's going. But there's a moment where it just stops for interval. Right. And suddenly he's in the middle of this church, and then everyone sort of starts joining in. It's just this incredible musical number, and you know, it's one of those times I could just caught myself beaming. I was just having such a fun time with this film. Look, this is a joy. It's one of my films of the year. It, like I said, it's on limited release. It's been out sort of 2 weeks now. I think it's playing only at the Cinema Nova in Carlton, the Palace Como in South Yarra. Interestingly, it is coming back at the Astor Theatre in a double with Cosmopolis, which is clearly like the limousine double, because so much happens within the limousine. They've tried to sell it a little bit through the Kylie Minogue connection, because she has a cameo in one of the vignettes. And she's great in it, actually, you know, in a very small role. But the film is really also about cinema and the mechanics of cinema. And, you know, with the whole dressing up and these discussions where he talks to presumably a director or a producer who says, look, you look like you've gotten tired. You don't have the passion that you used to for these characters. And he says, you know, it's a job. I'm doing it, and they're talking about, you know, the loss of the machinery of film.
Yes.
And it's interestingly, Carax has shot this film in digital, and he was predominantly a celluloid man beforehand. So you get this sense, like we've talked about with Hugo, like we've talked about with The Artist, that this is, again, cinema in a transitional phase from celluloid to digital. And this film has a kind of a nostalgia, almost a melancholic nostalgia for cinema that had a sort of that wonderful imaginative streak, and this film has it in spades.
Okay, enjoyably weird. A few of your text messages. Samara has texted, bad boy Bubby, shudder. Yes, indeed. Somebody else has texted, weirdest movie, Eraserhead. I am so with you there. Look, I do want to ask though, Josh, all the various guises he goes through in Holy Motors, are they all recognisable parts of the same persona? Is there a central thread that you could cling to as a viewer?
Well, I think the attraction for me for this film, given it's not really plot-driven in the sense of a traditional, like I said, classical film, is not knowing where it's going and trying to, you know, trying to start to try and piece this character together in a way that might make sort of a meaningful, logical sense, but also that sense that that meaning frequently eludes you. So it's almost like this tease of trying to, and even at the end, there's almost the sense of we're going to give you the answer, but not really.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Love a bit of ambiguity in my cultural product. Let's have a word to Evan from Riddles Creek. He's got a weird film to nominate that weirded him out. Hi there, Evan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's yours?
It's a film called Taxidermia. It's a Hungarian film. Can't remember the director. Surreal. Very, very. He also directed another film called Huckle, where it was no dialogue. It was sort of based around a hiccup.
Right.
But this film, Taxidermia, it's sort of a triptych of stories, and the common thread is this sort of it's a family, grandfather, father, son, etc., etc. It has the most phenomenally shocking, amazing ending. I cannot say anything more about the ending because it would obviously destroy it.
Sure.
But get your hands on this film. It's got massive cats fed on butter and obviously taxidermia parts.
I'm thinking taxidermia, cats and butter. I'm already thinking it doesn't particularly appeal, Evan. But I'm glad to know you've rung up and nominated it. I didn't want to ask about the taxidermy. I thought that might sort of take us beyond the family rating. Jess has texted in. Yes, you can. A long list, I'm sure, a long list of people will join you nominating these two: Mulholland Drive and Lost Highway, the David Lynch films. Is Lost Highway the one that starts with Nicolas Cage beating someone to death?
No, that's Wild at Heart.
Oh, that's Wild at Heart. Sorry,
Bill Pullman and Balthazar Getty are the men in Lost Highway.
Strange.
It's a great film. I love it.
I've never ever recovered from watching Blue Velvet as a 13-year-old. I should not have been allowed in. The Valhalla owners, I blame you. The Tenant by Polanski. I had to walk out. That's from Howard. It still gives me the creeps. Yes, I can imagine that one. John in Geelong has nominated this one too. What about Lars and the Real Girl as an example of a weird movie but enjoyable? Lars and the Real Girl, is that about the man who's got the doll?
Ryan Gosling.
Yes, Gosling with the doll.
Another
girlfriend.
Amazing film that they make this inanimate object have this be endowed with these characters that you feel sad when. I'm not going to spoil the film, but
no,
there you go.
All very weird. Someone's texted in, I still don't understand Donnie Darko. It's not that bad, is it?
I don't think they directed it either,
no,
to be honest.
I don't think so. And Blair Witch Project, it put me off camping for life. Yes, I am not surprised. Those things are still haunting you, aren't they? I can see those disturbing images visualized inside your brain, imprinted on the side of your cranium forever. Keep going with your weird movie suggestions, 1300 222 774. I'd like you to tell me how scarred you've been. Hopefully people won't be too scarred, Josh, by Bernie, Jack Black's latest.
No, this one's pretty easy on the psychological front, but interesting in a very different way to Holy Motors. This is a film from director Richard Linklater, who again is one of these directors who is very
exactly
among various other films from Before Sunrise and Sunset, A Scanner Darkly, and School of Rock, which of course was one of
Did he do School of Rock?
He did again. He's
really?
One of those directors that you go, did he really do?
Wow. Okay.
And this is where the Jack Black connection comes from. I think School of Rock was one of those first times that we saw another glimpse of Jack Black being able to kind of, you know, trot out his dramatic chops.
Yeah.
He wasn't just the kind of the over-the-top comedic of Tenacious D,
yeah,
as much as I love Tenacious D. Look, in this film, he plays Bernie, an assistant mortician in a small Texas town who forms a bond with an elderly widower, played by Shirley MacLaine. And this bond grows into sort of companionship and then towards this sort of relationship, and you're not quite sure what's going on. And then there's an act of violence, and I'm not going to say too much more, but then the narrative takes a bit of a turn. What makes this an interesting film, though, you know, it turns out it's based on a true story, is that it's done in a style of a documentary / mockumentary, because it begins with a whole lot of sort of townsfolk giving their opinion on Bernie, the Jack Black character. And you're thinking, okay, is this a mockumentary? Are these actors pretending they're the kind of the small town folk, or is... And it turns out they're real. And what the film is doing, what Linklater is doing, is he's melding these sort of documentary interviews with the real town folk, and with the reenactments of the Bernie and the Shirley MacLaine character. But because I went into this with a sort of a blank slate and not knowing too much about the real story, it's this curious sort of take on, you know, can you ever really know someone? And this is one of the questions the film is asking about his character, the Bernie character, and because he puts on such an idyllic front. He's the idealized town man. Everyone loved Bernie. Everyone thinks he's great. But then when this act comes about, it's hang on, do we really know Bernie? And so we get this blend of the fiction, the faction, the kind of the reenactment. And I think it's a really smart film because of the way in which the style mimics the sort of the themes or ideas that the film is playing with. And Jack Black is really good. Again, really restrained. We get glimpses of the sort of the his manic qualities, but this is a really impressive performance.
Okay, so Bernie's on general release?
Look, it's been out for a couple of weeks now. It's at the Palace Cinemas, Cinema Nova, and the Rivoli in Camberwell.
Okay, fairly reasonably wide distribution within the goat's cheese curtain. James has called from Cheltenham with a weird one. Hi there, James.
Yeah, hi, how you doing, Ralph?
Well.
Yeah, I'm ringing up about the movie Happiness, much Penny Todd Talon's movie.
Tell me a little bit about Happiness that's fit for a family audience.
I probably can't tell you the sort of the main storyline in the movie, but there's a few. It's basically the story of a number of characters search for happiness in their own ways that they go about it. You've got some odd characters doing some odd things, and it's weird, but it's.
So did you like it, or did it sort of turn you off so much it was too weird?
No, I really enjoyed it. Sort of more so than some of the other Todd Solondz films I found to be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But this one in particular was funny. I have shown it to a few people. I recommended it to people who didn't like it, so it's probably not for everybody.
Yeah, look, I've got to say, James, once I heard what was in it, I decided to skip that one. But thank you for calling. Josh Nelson, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you for weirding me out once again. His blog is filmology.com. That's with a PH, filmology.com.